Welcome you. You're probably here because, well, you're looking for marketing strategies that really work, right? Stuff that drives results without being overly complicated.
And that's what we're getting into today. We're focusing on a real marketing workhorse, something that just keeps delivering, even with all the new shiny tech out there.
Yep. Email marketing, specifically how it's holding up in 2025.
Exactly. Because despite everything else, it remains incredibly powerful.
We've been digging through recent industry benchmarks, a pretty interesting meta study, and some sharp perspectives on the whole digital marketing scene.
And our mission, really, for you listening,
right,
is to nail down why email is still so effective. And, crucially, pull out the key things you can actually use.
Right. Strategies you can implement. And honestly, the ROI figures we found are kind of staggering.
Yeah, get this. We're talking averages around $36, maybe even up to $42 back for every single dollar you put in. It's really impressive.
Okay, so let's dig in then. Why? Why does email still have this staying power in a world of shifting algorithms and, you know, constant noise on other platforms?
Well, I think you have to look at its core nature. It's direct and it's permission-based.
People opt in. They invite you.
Precisely. You're not just shouting into the void hoping an algorithm picks you up. You have a direct line. That's huge today.
And it's a connection you actually own, isn't it? It's not like building followers on, say, social media where the platform controls everything.
Exactly right. You own that first-party data, the info your subscribers willingly share, purchase history, clicks, opens. It's all in your database.
Which is a massive contrast to the walled gardens you hear about.
Totally. Where you have very little direct control. Mm. And let's not forget cost, the marginal cost to scale email. It's incredibly low.
Sending to 10,000 isn't vastly more expensive than sending to 1,000.
Pretty much. It scales beautifully.
Okay, so that $36 to $42 ROI figure, how does that actually stack up against other things marketers might be spending on, like paid social or display ads?
Yeah, good question. So looking across the landscape, some meta studies actually put email ROI even higher, maybe closer to 3,800%.
Right.
But even using those benchmarks, $36 to $42.
It's still way up there.
Way up there. Compared to paid social, which typically averages maybe 250%, 300% ROI.
Okay.
And display advertising, often under 100%. The cost effectiveness is just stark.
Wow.
Think about it this way. Some research suggests the budget for just one day of mid-funnel awareness ads could potentially fund a whole quarter of segmented automated email nurture campaigns.
That really puts it in perspective, especially if you're deciding where to allocate budget. That efficiency difference is key.
It absolutely is. It's maximizing every dollar.
Now, personalization, it's everywhere. Everyone talks about it. How does email really deliver on that promise in 2025?
Right, because it's one thing to have the data. It's another to use it effectively, you know. Email gives you amazing tools for this. Segmentation is probably the most fundamental.
Breaking down the list.
Exactly. Not just blasting everyone with the same message. You divide people into smaller groups based on, say, where they are in the buying journey or what they've bought before, or even just how engaged they are.
And the impact of doing that, of being more targeted. I remember seeing a stat about revenue.
Oh, it's huge. Segmented emails can generate up to 760% more revenue per email compared to just generic blasts.
760%.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. A new lead gets content specific to their initial interest, while a loyal customer gets maybe an exclusive offer on something related to their past purchases. It just resonates more.
Makes total sense. And it's more than just static segments now, right? The tech has moved on.
Oh, definitely. Ooh. Modern email service providers, the ESPs, are really sophisticated. They allow for dynamic content.
Meaning the email changes based on who opens it.
Exactly. In real time. Imagine an email showing your current loyalty points balance or products you just looked at on the website. Updated the moment you open it.
That's powerful.
And then you have behavioral triggers. Email sent automatically based on actions. Someone abandons a cart. They get an email. Browses a specific category. Maybe they get a relevant guide.
Feels much more like a one-on-one conversation then.
It really does. It's timely. It's relevant.
But okay, with all this data, all this personalization, privacy is a massive concern. GDPR, CCPA, all those regulations. Mm. How do you do this effectively and respectfully in 2025?
You absolutely have to. Respecting privacy is, well, it's table stakes now. The key is doubling down on consent, transparency, and data minimization.
Only collect what you need.
Precisely. Store only necessary data. Offer really clear, easy-to-find preference centers. Let people control what they get, how often.
Give them the control.
And a smart move is offering an opt-down option, maybe fewer emails per week before they hit unsubscribe completely. It's all about building trust, showing you respect, their inbox, and their data.
Okay, so moving beyond just the immediate sale, how does email help build the brand, foster those longer-term relationships?
Yeah, connecting it to the bigger picture. Email is great for longer content, right?
Yeah.
It's perfect for thought leadership, detail, how-to guides, storytelling, stuff that builds trust over time.
Not just constant selling.
Exactly. When you consistently provide value, real education, not just promotions, you naturally see things like open rates improve, customer lifetime value go up.
So mix it up, promotional emails alongside, say, case studies or tips.
Absolutely. Case studies, insider tips, maybe curated industry news with your take on it. It positions you as a resource, not just a vendor.
Builds authority. Got it. Now, measuring success. It's easy to get hung up on opens and clicks, isn't it? What KPIs really show the business impact.
Yeah, that's a crucial shift we're seeing. Moving beyond vanity metrics to what really matters. Opens and clicks tell you something about engagement, sure.
But not the whole story.
Not at all. Metrics like revenue per email, or RPE, directly link the value you're generating to your list size. That's vital for forecasting.
Makes sense.
For B2B folks, lead velocity rate, the LVR, which tracks the growth of qualified leads month over month. That shows pipeline contribution.
Okay.
Then there's list churn ratio unsubscribes, plus hard bounces divided by sends. That tells you about your list health.
How clean your data is.
Exactly. But maybe the most insightful is incremental lift.
Explain that one a bit more.
Okay, so say a specific email segment usually brings in $1,000 a week. You run a targeted campaign to that segment, and it generates $1,500 that week, that extra $500. That's your incremental lift for that campaign.
Ah, so it isolates the campaign's direct impact above the baseline.
Precisely. It shows the added revenue directly because of that specific email effort.
And focusing on that lift, does it actually lead to better results overall?
It seems so. The MailMunch 2025 benchmark report we looked at, it found that senders who review incremental lift regularly, like quarterly, they see about a 22% faster improvement in their revenue per email each year compared to those just tracking opens and clicks.
22% faster improvement. That's significant. Okay, so email is powerful on its own, clearly. But how does it fit into the bigger picture? You know, an omni-channel strategy where people are using lots of different channels.
Yeah, it's rarely just one channel anymore, is it?
Email
really shines as like the central hub in an omni-channel approach. Think about the synergy.
How they work together.
Exactly. You can sync your really engaged email segments to ad platforms for super targeted retargeting, or build lookalike audiences from your best email subscribers.
Smart.
Or you could tease a new blog post on social media, drive people to sign up, and then deliver the full meaty content via email.
Using each channel for its strengths.
Right. Even SMS can play a role maybe for urgent reminders, while email handles the deeper info, the storytelling.
So it's about creating that seamless experience wherever the customer interacts.
Totally. And when you integrate your CRM, your e-commerce data, even customer support tickets with your ESP, you build this rich, unified customer profile.
So you really know who you're talking to.
Yes. And that allows for amazing service-oriented emails, like automatically sending helpful onboarding tips right after someone submits a support ticket. That's great for satisfaction. Might even prevent future issues.
Proactive support via email. I like that. Now, something we absolutely have to talk about, mobile. So many emails are opened on phones now. How critical is mobile-first design in 2025?
It's non-negotiable. Absolutely essential. Over 65%, some sources say even higher, of commercial emails are opened on mobile.
So if your email looks bad on a phone,
you're potentially losing engagement with, well, the majority of your audience. You have to design for mobile-first.
What does that actually mean in practice? Responsive templates?
Responsive templates are key, yes. They adapt automatically. But also things like sticking to a single column layout makes scrolling easy. Using legible font sizes, at least 14, maybe 16 pixels for body text.
Readable on a small screen.
And buttons. Call to action buttons need to be easily tappable. Think minimum 44 by 44 pixels. Nothing worse than trying to hit a tiny link on your phone.
Ugh, yeah. Been there. So frustrating.
Exactly. And prioritize the hierarchy. Logo, headline, main image, primary CTA that needs to be visible instantly, above the fold, no scrolling needed ideally.
Get straight to the point.
And keep it brief and scannable. Short intros, under 50 words maybe. Use bullet points, short sentences, make it easy to digest quickly on the go.
Okay, managing all this, the segmentation, the triggers, the mobile design, automation seems like a necessity, right? How can businesses use automation smartly without losing that personal touch?
Yeah, automation is what makes a lot of this scalable and personalized. It's not either. Think about a good welcome series.
For new subscribers.
Right, maybe 3 to 5 automated emails triggered when someone signs up. The data shows a well-done welcome series can boost first purchase rates by like 30%.
30% just from the welcome.
It works. You could also automate re-engagement campaigns for inactive subscribers. Try to win them back with something valuable before you clean them off the list.
Good point.
And post-purchase flows. Thank you notes, usage tips, review requests, maybe relevant cross-sells. Those are fantastic for building loyalty and getting more value from existing customers.
And automation handles all that consistently.
Exactly. It frees up the marketing team to focus on the bigger strategy, the creative side, instead of just sending manual batches all the time.
It's like a tireless assistant for nurturing relationships. Okay, let's think about the marketing funnel. Awareness, consideration, conversion, loyalty.
Yeah.
Where does email fit in strategically at each stage?
It really is the connective tissue all the way through. At the top, awareness. Great for lead capture with lead magnets, newsletter signups.
Keep visiting the list.
Yep. Then in the consideration stage, nurture sequences are key. Sending educational content, comparison guides, addressing objections via email.
Moving them along.
Right. When it's time for conversion, targeted dynamic offers, maybe time-limited promos, even invites for one-on-one consults sent via email could be really effective.
Driving that action.
And then for loyalty and expansion. Post-purchase education, cross-sells, upsells, asking for referrals. Email is perfect for maximizing that customer lifetime value and creating advocates.
So it guides the whole journey because you can tailor the message depth and type over time.
Exactly, which ultimately helps shorten sales cycles, whether you're B2C or B2B.
It's fascinating how versatile it is. Now, things are always changing. What trends are we seeing right now in 2025 that are actually making email more effective, not less?
It's interesting because some new tech is really boosting email. AI-driven personalization is a big one.
AI in email? How does that work?
ESPs are integrating AI to predict the best content, like which image or even which phrasing for each individual recipient in real time.
Wow.
Klaviyo's 2025 data, for instance, showed brands using AI recommendations in emails saw a 31% higher revenue per recipient.
31% higher revenue? It's not trivial.
Not at all. It's beyond just using their name. It's AI looking at behavior, predicting the best product to show, even the layout that works best for that person.
Okay, what else?
Zero-party data strategies are becoming more important. With privacy rules tightening, directly asking subscribers for their preferences via surveys in your preference center. That's key for relevant emails without creepy tracking.
Getting data directly from the source makes sense.
Interactive and AMP emails are gaining traction too. Things like in-email carousels, forms you can fill out right in the email, live shopping carts.
Reducing friction, basically. Fewer clicks.
Exactly. We've seen reports of conversion rate increases up to 23% in some tests, like for sauce onboarding, just by making the email interactive.
Very cool.
And finally, a real focus on sustainable sending practices. List hygiene. Regularly cleaning out inactive subscribers. Mailbox providers are getting tougher on gray mail emails people just ignore.
So keeping your list clean helps deliverability?
Massively. WebFX saw clients cut bounce rates by 35% just by consistently removing inactive addresses. It really matters.
Good hygiene pays off. Okay, what about our B2B listeners? Email often feels crucial there with longer sales cycles. Why is it so effective in B2B?
Yeah, for B2B, email has some unique advantages. Buying decisions often involve a whole committee, right?
Multiple stakeholders.
So email lets you send tailored, role-based content. Technical specs for the engineers, ROI-focused content for the finance folks or executives, all from the same core campaign, potentially.
Addressing different needs within the same account?
Precisely. And for complex products or services, you need that in-depth education. Multi-step email sequences explaining ROI implementation. You can't do that effectively in a display ad.
Email allows for that depth.
And attribution in B2B can be tricky. But email often provides clearer, more predictable tracking of its influence on the pipeline and closed deals compared to some other channels.
You can see the journey better.
Right. And research from Right Side Up in 2025 showed that B2B companies aligning nurture content to the buying committee roles. They saw deals close 18% faster and average deal values were 12% higher.
Aligning content to roles makes a real difference then. Faster closes, bigger deals.
It really does. That targeted communication is powerful.
Are there any other maybe more advanced tactics people are using to really push the boundaries of email effectiveness now?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're seeing more sophisticated stuff like predictive send time optimization.
AI figuring out the exact best time to send to each person.
Exactly, based on their past behavior. Then there's micro-segmentation getting really granular, even using psychographics, attitudes, values, lifestyles, not just demographics.
That's deep.
For B2B, reverse IP personalization can tailor content based on the company's industry, size, etc. And lifecycle suppression logic is smart, automatically pausing promotional emails if someone has an open support ticket.
Avoids annoying them when they have a problem. Good touch.
Very good touch. And dark mode. So many people use dark mode now, like almost half. Designing emails that adapt well to dark mode with CSS toggles is becoming standard practice.
Ensuring readability everywhere. All these little things add up. What about AI helping actually write the emails?
Yeah, that's another big area. Generative AI is being used to draft things like personalized intros, maybe referencing a recent comment someone left on your blog or product feedback they gave.
Pulling in data to personalize the copy itself.
Right. AI drafts it, then a human editor refines it, makes sure it matches the brand voice. Reach Marketing reported cutting content production time by 40% using AI this way.
40% time saving.
And they also saw a 12% higher click-to-open rate. So faster and potentially more effective copy.
Okay, that's a lot of potential tactics and strategies. For someone listening, maybe feeling a bit overwhelmed, what's a good roadmap for just continuous improvement? How do they keep getting better?
Yeah, it's about being systematic.
Yeah.
I'd say start with quarterly KPI audits. Benchmark yourself against industry data. See where you're lagging.
Find the weak spots.
Then implement a testing matrix. Always be A/B testing something. Subject line, sender name, creative, offers, calls to action. Always be learning. Absolutely. Set up voice of customer loops. Actively gather feedback from email replies, surveys. Use that to improve not just emails, but maybe product, CX too.
Listen to your list.
Definitely. Do monthly deliverability health checks. Monitor your authentication. Check for blacklists. Stay technically sound.
Keep the pipes clean.
And finally, keep an eye on the future. Watch for upcoming privacy laws, changes in technology. Be proactive, not reactive.
Stay ahead of the curve. Those are really practical steps. Okay, let's tackle some common questions people still have about email, even now.
Sounds good. Fire away.
Okay, first one. Why is email still so effective compared to all the newer, maybe sexier channels?
It really comes back to that powerful combo. High ROI, you own the data, and you can personalize at scale in a way other channels struggle to match. Those are fundamental advantages.
Got it. Next, why focus on email if maybe social media engagement looks higher?
Key difference is intent versus vanity. Social engagement is often public, maybe fleeting. Email engagement is usually more private, reflects deeper interest, often a higher purchase intent. Conversion rates from email are typically much higher, sometimes 3x to 5x higher, than social.
Intent matters more than likes. Okay. Is email really still effective in 2025 with inbox clutter?
Yes, absolutely. The data shows click-to-conversion rates are actually rising in many sectors. It proves relevance and personalization beat sheer volume. Sending smarter matters more than sending more.
Good point. So what's the main purpose of email today then?
I'd say it's primarily to guide prospects and customers through their journey with relevant info and offers, maximize their lifetime value, and collect those invaluable first-party insights about what they actually need and want.
Guide, maximize LTV, and learn. And how best to measure effectiveness again, beyond opens and clicks.
Focus on business impact. Revenue per email, RPE, overall conversion rate, especially that incremental lift. Those show the real bottom-line contribution. And underpinning all of this, maintaining a healthy sender reputation. That's non-negotiable. Without it, none of your great content even gets seen. It ends up in spam. Deliverability is foundational.
Crucial point.
Okay.
That clears up a lot. So, to wrap this all up, what's the ultimate best practice checklist for email marketing success in 2025?
Okay, let's boil it down. One, grow your list organically. No purchase lists ever.
Rule number one.
Two, segment deeply and strategically. Behavior, demographics, psychographics if you can.
Know your audience segments.
Three, write irresistible but honest subject lines. Deliver on the promise.
No clickbait.
Four, deliver genuine value. Educate, help, entertain. Don't just sell, sell, sell.
Value first.
Five, optimize every email for mobile first. Assume it'll be read on a phone.
Mobile is primary.
Six, A/B test relentlessly. Always be learning. Always be improving.
Test everything.
Seven, measure what matters. Revenue, LTV, incremental lift. Go beyond vanity metrics.
Focus on business outcomes.
And eight, stay compliant. Get clear consent. Make preferences easy to manage. Respect privacy.
Be ethical and legal. That's a great checklist. So the big takeaway seems clear. Email marketing in 2025. Still a powerhouse. Absolutely. It's not just alive and well. It's arguably more important than ever when done right. That strategic, data-driven, personalized, integrated approach. that's where the real ROI is.
Exactly. If you refine segmentation, automate smartly, and truly respect subscriber preferences, you're going to continue seeing significant returns from email. It's a bedrock channel.
Okay, so that leads us to our final thought for you, our listener, to mull over. Considering everything we've discussed today, what's maybe just one or two of these advanced tactics you could realistically start applying to your own marketing efforts right now? Something that could make a tangible difference fairly quickly.
Yeah, think about that. How can you leverage email even more effectively to build those deeper, more valuable, lasting customer relationships?
Food for thought. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today.